Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this here program. And thank you for listening to AFR on this Monday, May the 22nd, 2023. Good morning, Ed Battagliano.
Good morning to you, and happy May 22nd.
Thank you. Well, same back at you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. It's May 23rd in Australia.
Already?
Who cares, Chris?
We're already treating each other like this. we got a whole week here.
You know what?
Fred's gone. There's no peacemaker.
You're right. I'm going to be encouraging Ed today.
Right. Encouraging.
Chris, love the shirt. Love the beard.
Thank you.
Way to go, brother.
I colored it this way.
You colored your beard?
Yeah, I really have brown hair. I do that touch of gray from Just for Men.
Well, it's worked because you got the touch of gray.
Yeah. I'm waiting on somebody to ask me if my kids are my grandkids.
And that's a great look on you. I just thought I'd encourage you.
Yeah. So.
Positive.
You know what? When I do encouraging Ed and I do that periodically, people automatically know that it's like a scam. Right. You go, all right. What's with the other shoe's going to drop?
Yeah. It's phony.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's phony.
Here?
Encouraging Ed. All right. A lot to talk about today. We hope everybody had a nice weekend. We had a family reunion this weekend. People do. A family reunion's going out of style.
I think I've just because everyone lives so far from each other.
Yeah,
sometimes.
That's all the more reason. I know when you're probably 25 and under, you don't care about family reunions, right? Because you don't know these people. All right, am I right? Huh? And then you get older, and they become more meaningful because you do know these people, because they're your cousins and your aunts and uncles and all like that. I'm just saying, when you're a kid, maybe 25, you're just going, we're going where to see who? I don't even know these chip people.
Well, now, when I was growing up, we were with family every weekend. We were at somebody's house or someone was at our house. I'm talking about aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents.
You're very tight-knit.
Yeah, very tight-knit. Now, beyond that, like what you're talking about, kind of like the second and third cousins or whatever.
That's the kind of family reunion I'm talking about.
We didn't do a whole lot of that.
Yeah.
My dad's side of the family was one of the like Christmas and Easter families where we did holidays. But my wife's side of the family is massive. We are a buffet's worst nightmare. And we get together on a pretty regular basis. So I don't know necessarily that like a reunion is necessary because we see them. And I go to the same church with a lot of the in-laws.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the kind when you have to get together because people live, you know, in different parts of the country and like you got to plan it a year in advance and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a lot of fun. And
well, good for you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed the weekend. That makes me happy.
Thank you. Thank you, encouraging Ed.
Yes.
Thank you. Ed, tell people how they can watch this here program on the internet.
Absolutely, I'll do that. First of all, shout out to Brent Creeley, our producer, who cleaned in here. Smells fantastic. Looks great. Excellent work.
You mean our studio?
Yeah, studio. Yeah. Did good. All right, so folks, if you want to watch us do this radio program in this clean studio, you can do that. There are two ways for that to happen. You can go to Facebook Live and search for Today's Issues. Click through and you can watch the live video stream of this program, or you can go to AFA's streaming platform. That is streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. And you can, very simple to set up an account there, and you can not only watch the live video streams of many of your favorite programs, but you can also watch a lot of the video content that AFA has produced and made available.
Chris, what's first?
Well, I want to begin with our top story on AFN.net, which is our news ministry's website here. For those that did not catch the program today, our very own Jenna Ellis had an interview with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and they touched on a number of topics, including the elephant in the room, that being when he might or will announce he is going to run for the Republican presidential nomination. So We can begin here with Governor Ron DeSantis on when he will announce. Clip one.
I would just tell people, stay tuned. I think we all understand the country is going in the wrong direction. People see that. When I ran for re-election, the majority of Floridians thought Florida was going in the right direction, and a huge majority thought America was going in the wrong direction. So you see the difference between good governance and what that can do and poor leadership and poor governance. And I would just tell people it doesn't have to be this way. I think Florida showed that there's a path to succeed and to do really big things, and we will have an announcement shortly.
By the way, Jenna, Jenna Ellis, who's on with us, well, she hosts our show.
Right.
7 to 8 o'clock Central Time each weekday morning. Most people who listen to AFR know that, Jenna, who served in the Trump administration.
She did,
by
yes.
the way. And I just FYI here, if you didn't know, she did interview in February former President Trump on her show as well. So
she's also interviewed Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yes, she has.
On a couple of occasions.
Exactly. She's personal friends with him.
She's very well connected to the political world. Yes. I wouldn't be surprised if she had on everyone eventually who's running for the GOP nomination.
Or the Democrats.
Or Democrats if they want to come on.
Right.
You know, she's tough.
But I listened to most of the interview this morning with Governor DeSantis. Again, he's supposed to announce later this week,
Thursday was one day thrown out there.
Yeah. He's also addressing in Orlando the annual gathering of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, which we usually go to here. Yeah. We didn't go, you and I, Ed, usually go.
Right.
We didn't go to this time, but we do have Abraham Hamilton III's there, and we do have a team down there.
Right.
In Orlando for the annual NRB convention. And so the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, will be addressing that group this evening. And then, again, we're anticipating later this week he will become an official candidate for the GOP nomination. So, anyway, it was a very interesting interview. I enjoyed hearing what he had to say. He is this morning on Jenna's program. Right. He is a very he must have a mind that can remember a lot of detail because she was asking him about different. Do we have clips from this?
We do, yeah.
Oh, Jenna was asking him about some of the legislation that got passed in Florida the last few months. And they've just been passing one thing after another that most all conservatives would give a big thumbs up to.
Right.
And the reason that the governor has been able to sign the legislation is because they have what they call now a supermajority. And that is the Republicans control the House and the Senate in Tallahassee to the extent where they can't be denied by the Democrats.
Right.
So it basically anything they want to pass, they can pass and they have passed in the Florida State Legislature. But she was asking him about some of these things, and he was reeling off certain aspects of them or details of them. I found that to be some people call that wonkish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if you can't answer questions with facts, people notice that as well.
That's true.
You know,
I'm not being critical.
No,
I'm just saying that he doesn't answer in generalities. Usually, he answers in specifics. So, what do you have right now, Chris?
Well, on the issue of, she asked him about a number of things, like where are you on the issue of religious freedom and men and women sports, things like that. So, I've got kind of a longer than we would normally air soundbite. It's a little bit over a minute, but here is Ron DeSantis talking about religious freedom and sports bills. Clip two.
I think it's absolute. I think partly because it's just something that's fundamental as Americans. It's something that our founding fathers knew was fundamental to a free society, and in this day and age, this crazy age we live in where everything's upside down, religious liberty has probably never been more threatened. And so it requires people like me in these positions to stand forthrightly in defense of it. So a couple of the things we did, you did mention that bill. So in Florida, our high school athletics had been governed by this basically private body, the Florida High School Athletic Association. And they would do things like not allow schools to do a prayer on the intercom before a football game, and we viewed that as a violation of the religious freedom. And so we have basically reorganize that board so that it's subject to gubernatorial appointments, and we're going to make sure that it's doing what's in the best interest of Florida. Interestingly, that same board, that FHSAA, they drug their feet on our women's sports law that we signed a couple years ago, which basically says in Florida, girls and women athletes have a right to compete with integrity and fairness. And you can't swim on the men's team for 3 years and just switch to the women's team and start racking up championships. That is not right, and that's not allowed.
Well, that's
where does he stand? Can we not get a straight answer out of this guy?
That's an excellent answer, and I one of the things I appreciate about both Governor DeSantis and frankly Vivek Ramaswamy is they don't back up an inch on these issues where kind of woke ideology has forced a lot of people to hedge what they're trying to say. Both of them speak clearly on those issues. When he spoke about religious liberty, I do want to give a little tease. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have on Jeremy Tedesco of Alliance Defending Freedom. He's a senior VP of corporate engagement. They have developed a way to look at major corporations and see what sort of support they have for the religious freedoms of people that work for them and people who do business with them. And I got to tell you, I was shocked. Disney scored a 5% out of 100% on the issue of religious liberty. So that's an issue that Governor DeSantis yes. is dealing with firsthand in his conflict with Disney, but other corporations we'll be talking about with Jeremy Tedesco. But I like what he had to say. I like Vivek Ramaswamy, both of those gentlemen. I'm sure Tim Scott, who we'll talk about.
By the way, Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, is announcing today.
He is. Right now they're having a big event in South Carolina. His kind of formal announcement where he stands and there's people behind him.
All right.
And he smiles and kisses babies.
Let me ask you fellows a question, an opinion here. I'm asking you to read somebody's psyche, I guess, or do a psychological analysis.
Okay.
Why do you think all these people are running for president on the Republican side when for most all of them, their chances are tiny that they would ever reach. If they would have any chance at all.
Well,
let's take Senator Scott. Okay.
Okay.
I am in no way, shape, or form I demeaning him as a United States senator. He's been on our program before. He mentioned how he was a fan of, I think he, of my dad's, and he
didn't say that. I remember that.
He is a Christian man, a solid conservative constitutionalist. I mean, there's nothing not to like,
right?
To use a double negative about Senator Scott. But I'm just saying. But if you look at where the situation is right now, as far as polls and having Trump and DeSantis ahead of him,
right?
And even maybe Nikki Haley. I don't know where she stands exactly, but why do you run?
Well, this is just speculation. I'm not trying
to get
into
Tim Scott's head.
I'm just asking you. Yeah, I think if you're someone like Tim Scott, who is a true believer in the principles that he puts forth and all the kind of things that we like about the senator, you're a true believer, you see where this country's headed, you want to help. So, number one, the motivation, I think, for someone like that is valid. Second of all, you never know. You never know if he's going to catch fire. And suddenly we talked about Donald Trump, who when he said, I'm going to build a wall with Mexico,
they're going to pay for it.
That catapulted him to the front of the line.
Right.
And he never lost that position.
Right.
So you never know. And then for some people, I would think mainly someone like maybe Nikki Haley or Governor Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey, who's been out of politics, frankly, for a number of years. Maybe you think you're going to extend your political life. You might not get the nomination, but you might get a high-profile position in the administration of whatever Republican might get elected.
So you can always say, when introducing yourself from here forward, you can always say, former presidential candidate.
Yeah, you can do that as well. because it's the real deal.
That's what Mike Huckabee uses.
Yeah.
On the television ads that Mike does for, I know Mike, so I can call him Mike.
Okay.
That he does for like
supplements and stuff.
Yeah, like things that. Like this. They say former presidential candidate Mike Huckabee, so and so.
There
see
you
what
go.
I'm saying? So, huh? So I'm just saying, Ed, you might want to throw your hat in the ring, man. That way, all you
can have a former presidential candidate.
You can always be called former presidential candidate, Ed Vitagliano. It doesn't matter whether you're tracking 0.0% support. You can call it
like
that.
Marianne Williamson.
Yeah,
didn't she run in 2016
yeah.
too?
Yeah.
So and she's kind of a new age guru of thing. So she could say former presidential candidate.
I'm with Ed. I think a lot of them are any presidential candidate that tends to run. A lot of times they're kind of jockeying for a position in a future administration. But also some of them, I do believe, want to bring issues kind of into the national
like Robert Kennedy is.
Yeah, to have people move into things. For example, Vivek Ramaswamy. Is big into fighting woke stuff.
Right.
And so he's trying to get people more aware of that and doing something about it. But on the Democratic side of things, and he's not even a Democrat, he's an independent, Bernie Sanders back in 2016 is really the guy that got the ball rolling with the whole Medicare for all and single-payer health care and stuff like that. And so, because of him, they've moved in that direction.
So you're saying some of these guys and ladies may know they don't have a dog's chance to win. Mm-hmm. But they have a particular issue they want to promote.
Right.
Or they have an eye on raising their profile for a future election.
Sure.
Okay. Or they may want to position themselves to serve in the administration of a president, in their party.
Yeah. I mean, I had never personally heard of Vivek Ramaswamy until he ran for president. And now I've heard him on several occasions, and I'm impressed with him.
Right.
So that to your point, he's elevated his public persona, and he's being taken seriously politically.
Yeah. Well, it is a big week for Governor DeSantis because when he announces, formally, everybody's pretty well known he's going to run now for a couple of months anyway, game on, right?
Right.
Because he will be with former President Trump, who's the...
He's polling, who's
leading in the polls.
56% to DeSantis, 19.
Yeah, Governor DeSantis way back second. And then the others are down in the single digits,
right?
Vice President Pence, has he even announced? Is he going to announce?
I don't think he's announced yet.
Look, I know Fox just said Pence was polling at
5%. Pence is in no man's land, okay? In terms of politically, think about it. I mean, I'm not the first one to say this. The supporters of President Trump don't like the guy.
Right.
I'm talking about Pence. Even though he served faithfully and loyally to Trump for 4 years.
Right.
The Trump supporters, the hardcore Trump supporters, they don't like Pence at all. Pence got kicked out of the club.
Right.
Because he wouldn't resist the certification of the
2020 election.
2020 results. Election.
Right. On the other hand, I mean, if you're a Trump fan and a Trump supporter, why would you want to support? In other words, you're going to support Trump.
Yeah. But also, I'm talking about. Yes, but I'm talking about even if Trump weren't there.
Oh, I see.
I don't think the people who are let's say really hardcore supporters of President Trump would ever go for Pence.
Right.
That's what I mean by no man's land, because they view him as somebody who betrayed the president.
I see.
Because remember Trump saying Pence is weak,
right,
and that he should send the votes back to the states. You remember that,
right?
That's what that's all about. So, so he's not accepted by the loyal Trump supporters.
Right.
And then also, but there's no lane for him over here with people who are looking for a different option.
Yeah. Yes.
Because the people that are looking for a different option, whether that be DeSantis or somebody else, as opposed to Trump, they're going like, Well, I really don't want to support Vice President Pence because he was too close to.
Yes, I see.
He was too close to Trump for 4 years, and especially what happened on January 6th.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I mean by no man's land.
I think there's too many options out there for the people that would possibly vote for a Mike Pence to pick another candidate that might have a better chance of winning. For example, if you're an evangelical and you like Mike Pence because of where he is on faith and stuff like that, you've got people like Nikki Haley out there. You've got Senator Tim Scott, who's making it official today. Ron DeSantis tends to be more of kind of a limited government guy, more so than, you know, a faith-based operative. But Ron DeSantis, he's not as outspoken about faith as, like,
I don't know. I disagree with you on that. Did you hear him this morning?
Nikki Haley. Well, in terms of, like, in everything that I've ever heard him speak, I just think Mike
You've heard everything that Ron DeSantis has ever said in his life.
No, sir.
Okay, Chris.
Generally, when Tim Scott does give a speech somewhere, he gets into faith.
Let me interrupt this conversation. Ed, am I being a smarty to Chris here? Because I don't want to.
I don't think so.
Well, asking him if he – I think what Chris was saying is – in general, he wasn't implying
Chris,
that
I apologize.
he's heard everything that he's said.
Okay,
I don't think Pence is going to win.
Governor DeSantis is not an evangelical Christian.
No, he's Catholic.
Catholic. So that may have something to do with what Chris is talking about. Not that Catholics don't talk about their faith, but
well, he talked about God this morning.
Yes,
he did.
And
he
talked about
he's a big advocate for religious freedom.
Oh, yeah,
Tim Scott usually will find a way to bring God into a lot of his speeches.
Okay.
More so than some of the other people.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, Tim Scott announcing now in South Carolina that we're watching it on Fox News that he's going to run for president.
And I like Senator Scott a lot. I don't. Here's the
do you
thing.
But do you think Trump's going after him today? Because he's got a name. I bet he does.
Well, he hasn't gone after like Nikki Haley, has he? Or has he gone after
Ramaswamy? He encouraged her and said, hey, you know, go for it.
So. He's, huh?
You know,
he's been vicious against Ron DeSantis, so I expect him to go vicious against Tim Scott today.
I don't think he will. Because of what we've said, I think he sees DeSantis as being his main competition, talking about former President Trump. I don't think he'll have names for all these candidates. Unless
he did last time in 16.
Yeah, but he was trying to break away from the pack,
right.
I think. I don't think he hasn't yet said anything. Now, he will say something about Mike Pence, I think, because to your point, he doesn't like Pence.
Now. I'd be shocked if he didn't say something about Mike Pence.
Yeah. But these other candidates like Chris Christie, I don't know that there would be a need. Why elevate? Why elevate other candidates?
Well, okay. If that's the position you hold, Trump says, I'm so far ahead in the polls, I'm not even going to debate. So, while at the same time, by the way, I'm about to have another nickname for Ron DeSantis.
everybody knows that this, at this point, is a two-person race. Trump, who, according to Real Clear Politics and all the other polls, is very far ahead of Ron DeSantis, but DeSantis is the closest to Trump and the most, I think, the most high profile and the biggest danger to the former president's hopes to get elected again. So I think that's why he's gone after.
So you're saying if Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, rises up to number two, that Trump will have a new name for him?
He'll have to. And that's been the way he President Trump has operated, is poke fun as well as say why you're better than the other candidate. So if one of the other candidates...
More than poke fun, it's ridicule.
Well, that's... Yeah.
He's ridiculed Ron DeSantis. I just wonder if he'll ridicule Tim Scott. That's my question. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Chris, and we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. So real quickly, before we move on, Chris, name for us the people that have declared their intentions to run for president on the Republican side.
Okay, if I leave anybody out, it's clearly on
that's what I'm grading you on.
People that are officially running for president include
yes.
former President Donald Trump.
One.
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Two.
Nikki Haley.
Three.
Senator Tim Scott.
Four.
Larry Elder.
Five.
And I think Asa Hutchinson.
Six.
Yes.
And this week?
Ron DeSantis on
seven.
Thursday, most likely.
That'll be seven. Mm-hmm. Is there... What about Chris Christie?
Fox did have him on a graphic, but I don't know that he
is. Is he going to run?
I'm going to get back to you on that.
Okay. Anyway, that's that'll be seven by the end of the week.
And if Mike Pence runs, that's eight.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see whether these people any more get in because.
Well, after your encouragement in the previous segment, Tim, I might throw my hat in the ring. I would be able to.
Hey,
however long I remain
on the earth. I would pay to see what nickname Trump came
this
up for
just
you.
In.
Huh?
This just in.
I tell you what Trump would say. Who?
New York Post on May 18th, their headline was this, Chris Christie to announce 2024 presidential run, and I'm using air quotes, in the coming days. I will share that link on our Facebook page.
He's got no chance either.
He's a bridge
He would only be running so he could be on the debate stage.
Right. And maybe get a plum position. I'm telling you,
Trump because he and Trump don't get along at all. But that's rare for Trump. as far as getting along with former people who work for him.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying Chris Christie doesn't like Trump, and Trump doesn't like Chris Christie. Mm-hmm. And if Chris Christie announces he's going to run, he has no chance to win, especially against Trump. But he would get on the stage just to goad Trump.
Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. They're New Jersey. It's a New Jersey New Yorker thing.
Do you think there's a rivalry there?
Yeah,
they don't like each other.
They don't like each other. All right, we got a guest, don't we, Ed?
Absolutely. Want to welcome Jeremy Tedesco, who's Alliance Defending Freedom's Senior Vice President of Corporate Engagement, and we have invited him, Jeremy, on to talk about ADF's Viewpoint Diversity Score Business Index, and folks. If you were suspicious about corporations in this country and their dedication to principles like religious freedom, think maybe they're not on our side, wait till you hear what Jeremy has to say. Jeremy, welcome to Today's Issues.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. So explain as briefly as possible what ADF's – first of all, let our listeners know what the Alliance Defending Freedom is, what you do for the most part, and then – briefly explain this viewpoint diversity score because your press release on this was eye-popping.
Sure. ADF is the world's largest nonprofit legal firm protecting religious freedom, free speech, life, and parental rights. We've won 14 cases at the Supreme Court since 2011. Have a case that's pending right now, 303 Creative versus Alenis, which is a compelled speech case that will be coming down with a final ruling from the Supreme Court in just a handful of weeks by the end of June. So we're anticipating, you never know, a victory in that case as well, which will bring us to 15, which would be great.
All right, so what is this Viewpoint Diversity Score Business Index?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We have, and many folks in the kind of Christian legal movement, do a great job filing and winning cases in the courts to protect our freedoms. But the reality is, in the day and age we live now, the concentration of power in private corporations, especially over essential services and products like tech and financial services, is becoming perhaps a greater threat to religious freedom and free speech than government coercion and censorship. So we wanted to figure out how do we solve for this problem. We can't just sue private corporations over the First Amendment. It's not as easy a path to hold them accountable. So we put together this accountability tool which is essentially a tool that measures their respect for free speech and religious freedom. And we're aiming at those tech and financial services companies who do control access to your ability to communicate on Twitter and Facebook and, you know, have a website hosted. And then financial services, your access to a banking account, to payment processing, to so many other essential financial services that you need to be able to live life in, you know, 21st century America or the world. So that's what the index is. People, your listeners can look at it if they'd like to at viewpointdiversityscore.org. The index and everything associated with it is housed there. And in the end, as the results go, the scores are very, very low. Our average this year was 11% overall. And that's, of course, very disappointing, probably not very surprising, especially because we're focused on industries that left-wing activists have been focusing on for literally decades to try to, you know, encourage them to engage in censorship, religious discrimination, cancellations. And so we're behind the ball as far as pushing corporate America, holding them accountable. But this project is really designed to hold them accountable to the values that we care about and view as important for corporations to pay attention to, and not become, you know, activists because they're just bending the knee to the other side.
Well, and of the 75 major corporations that Alliance Defending Freedom evaluated in this year's business index, your press release says only two scored over 25% out of 100% possible. Okay, so this Disney, by the way, scored 5% in their support for religious liberty and free speech. This sounds very similar to what the Human Rights Campaign has been doing for decades with its corporate equality index. Is this kind of like an attempt to hold a mirror up to the corporate world to bring some public pressure on them, as the Human Rights Campaign so successfully has done for their agenda?
Well, we need a counterweight to not just the Equality Index, but look, the left has hundreds of indexes and rating systems, scoring breakdowns that they use to drive corporations further and further left. So these things aren't happening just because, or only because, corporations are full of a bunch of people in leadership that lean left. I mean, reality is they are responding to very focused and well-manufactured pressure campaigns and evaluation tools and regulatory pressure to push them further and further left down the path of ESG and DEI and other things I'm sure your listeners have heard about. And so, yes, this is trying to stand up a counterweight to those things and saying, look, there's a different approach for business, one that positively gives back in a way that supports a culture of free speech and religious freedom for everyone. And that's one of the things about our index that's different than the one you mentioned, the Equality Index by the Human Rights Campaign, is we're not trying to tell these companies to be more Christian, to adopt our positions on issues. We want them to get out of politics. We want them to respect the fact that their customers and their workforce and other people in the broader public square have very diverse opinions about these very contentious issues. And that it's bad for them as businesses, it's bad for our culture, for these businesses to ladder into one particular narrow political agenda and drive it with their brand, their resources, through their workplace policies. Instead, be for and create a culture, both internally and externally, that respects the fact that free speech and religious freedom are essential rights that everyone has. And the other thing I think I'll say about our index versus others, we're not going to move the goalposts. I mean, the strategy of the Equality Index is to move the goalposts every year. So theirs is just a perpetual surrender of your business more and more to their activist aims. We're just saying, here are 42 objective standards for measuring whether you respect free speech and religious freedom inside and outside of your organization. And if you follow these, we're going to give you a great score. And if you don't, we're going to give you a low score. But we're not going to get you up to 100 and then start moving the goalposts year after year to get you more and more to be an activist for our side. And I think that businesses really want something like that. They're tired out from the endless kind of unhappiness and demands of the progressive activist side of these equations. And so we hope to be something very different, which is about free speech and free religious freedom for everyone, about respecting all of your customers in your workforce, in your shareholders, in adopting policies and practices that are consistent with that respect.
Jeremy Tedesco has been our guest. He's Alliance Defending Freedom Senior Vice President of Corporate Engagement. Jeremy, let our listeners know where they can go for more information on this and more information on ADF.
Well, just go to adflegal.org. You'll get all the information about Alliance Defending Freedom's important work there, including the work we're doing around the business index.
All right. Jeremy, thank you so much for being on with us, and thank you for all that ADF does for religious liberty in our country. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Chris, hey, real quickly before we Donald Trump, former president, hasn't said anything yet about Tim Scott.
Yeah.
Although I think that's probably coming today. His reaction to Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina. But he did release this statement a few minutes ago. And when I'm reading this, I'm not making this up.
Okay.
I'm not making this up. Okay. This is what former President Trump said 54 minutes ago.
All right.
Quote, "I've won two elections. The second, far bigger than the first. It was rigged. My endorsement is considered far and away the most powerful in political history. I'm blowing away the sanctimonious in the polls and am leading Biden and Harris big. Whereas DeSantis," that's what he calls the governor of Florida.
Right.
"Is losing to both. I have gotten more people elected than any other human being. Yet I have to listen to these little lightweights like Ron say I can't win. Like the Dems, it's just disinformation. The truth is they can't win." End of quote. So that's the statement. I'm not.
You think he's calling like Tim Scott, one, including him?
Yeah,
as the
he didn't name him, but he says that he, yet I have to, this is Trump, "yet I have to listen to these little lightweights." He says L-I-D-D-L-E, so you know he wrote it himself. Huh? No, I'm not.
No,
that's what he says.
Yeah.
That's what Trump says, L-I-D-D-L-E. "I have to listen to these little lightweights like Ron." He's talking about DeSantis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is spelled that way.
Anyway. Listen, folks, I know some of you get mad at me or us when we only quote what former President Trump says.
Right.
Because you think we're putting him in a bad light. Okay. No, he's putting himself in a bad light.
Yeah. He tweeted. No, that's on Truth Social. Right.
This is Trump 55 minutes ago, and I'm quoting him.
Right.
So if you're going to get mad at me, Tim, for quoting him.
Right.
I'm only quoting how he's reacting to the events of the day.
Yeah.
I shared the link for you.
Yeah. So you see, we supposed to not?
No. I've said on the air we're covering this election, and we are not. Our job is not to pick and choose. We need to try to cover it as fairly as possible. And when somebody says, if Ron DeSantis comes out and says something insulting to former President Trump, which he will have opportunity to do once he announces that later on this week, presumably, that he's running, we will say on the air, you can't do that either, Governor DeSantis. And we have said on the show on a number of occasions, Donald Trump's best chance to get the Republican nomination is to stop doing this, insulting attacks to Ron DeSantis, and to start touting his past accomplishments and what he wants to do if he's given a second term.
Yes, I do think that these kinds of comments that we just read only drive people away from the former president. It doesn't help him.
Right.
But now there are a lot of people who support President Trump. They like the bravado.
Right.
They like when he trash talks people.
Yeah.
They like the alpha male.
And that's what I think this is. Trash talking is a good way of putting it. It's like basketball players on the court. that will trash talk. And that's what that seems like to me from the former president.
All right, next story, Chris.
We used to trash talk when I was in the band.
Did you trash talk the
what was that like?
Did you trash talk the trumpeteers?
Let me tell you, when Amory went up against Ripley, let me tell you, Shannon.
Band on band.
Go Panthers.
You call that drumming?
What instrument did you play, Chris?
I was on the drum line. I played the snare drum, and then my senior year, I played the quads.
So did you... I hurt mine.
And I married a cheerleader, so you too, band nerds.
You married a cheerleader?
I did.
Wow.
All right.
That
next
is,
story, Chris.
That is highly unusual for a band nerd.
That's why I mentioned it on national radio.
But the drum team, they judge other drum.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mr. Burrell, by the way. Larry, if you're listening, God bless you.
Trash talking on the,
I tell you, you
the
got
band
intense.
Competition. That's funny.
Intense. All right. Speaking of intense, you know, the list of presidential candidates is growing, as we've talked about throughout much of the last 45 minutes on this show. The reason it's growing is because, again, people like Governor Ron DeSantis are expected to throw their hat in the ring later this week. Meanwhile, the NAACP is advising people against visiting Florida as a form of protest of Ron DeSantis and his administration. I'm reading from some of the bullet points here, and I'll share the links on our Facebook page. The NAACP has big concerns about Governor Ron DeSantis and other legislators there banning public colleges from spending tax dollars on things like diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. DeSantis also signed something called the Stop Woke Act several weeks or months ago, and that basically forbids things like CRT from being taught in certain classrooms that have nothing to do with critical race theory, like math and things of that nature. I've got some audio here. This is Fox News contributor David Webb, who is an African-American, talking on Fox today about the NAACP advising people not to visit Florida. Clip 5.
The NAACP, and you know, I'm going to reference something for the audience to look up, Manning Johnson's farewell speech, and how he talks about the NAACP in the 1960s, and that they are not for, as he put it, the colored people, that they're all about their money, which in a sense, reflects what Booker T. Washington said, that there are a certain group of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well. Again, paraphrasing, but they live off of this. They feed off of this. They collect money from black, white, anyone else, organizations, institutions, and they go out and they push this because it keeps them mildly relevant.
Yeah, this is when NAACP has run out of things to do. Like the gentleman right there was saying, issuing a statement, it sounds like it's a joke. Issuing a statement saying that black folks don't need to go to Florida because you're in danger.
Right. That's ludicrous. And I'm being polite.
That's what I'm saying. The NAACP, they probably do better just to close down shop because they, huh? They run out of if this is what they best thing come up with, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
As far as I got an idea. Let's issue a travel warning against the state of Florida.
That's what it was. It was a travel advisory.
Yeah.
Don't go to Florida. Like you could be in danger.
Yeah, like you're going to, you know, some third world country.
Right.
Where you're on your own.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can catch a disease if you go there, or there's, you know, a guerrilla war going on, a civil war. Listen, this, to me, is a perfect example of the hardcore left, which includes the NAACP now, of course. The hardcore left wants you to agree with their position, their ideology, and if you don't, they are going to use the worst kinds of labels to describe who you are and what you believe. You can expect to be called a Nazi all day long, a new Hitler, white supremacist, an extremist, domestic terrorist, and in this case, you're being characterized by the NAACP as being a direct and physical, literal threat to black people who might come down there for vacation. So if you don't submit to the leftist ideology, you get thrown in that basket, the basket of deplorables.
Yeah.
Which is what Hillary Clinton called cultural conservatives and conservatives.
In his resounding defeat of Charlie Crist in the most recent Florida gubernatorial election, Ron DeSantis beat Crist 59.4% to Crist's 40%. I can't find, like, narrowed down demographics, but I know for a fact we have aired on this program audio clips of people, including Governor DeSantis, saying he won X amount of black people in that election. So there are black people in Florida who like Ron DeSantis, or at least liked him better than the Democrats' option right out there. So therefore,
it's ridiculous. What the NAACP is citing is Governor DeSantis has been outspoken against this. What do you call it? Diversity, inclusion, and
DEI.
It's a leftist ideology, mm-hmm. and they're also falsely accusing the governor of being for. Against Black History Month, for example.
Right.
They put this garbage out there. It's not true.
Right.
In fact, you have to teach Black History Month in Florida. The governor has stated that.
Right.
No, they're trying to conflate things here. They're trying to confuse things. What the governor has said, as other governors have said, other red state governors have said, we're not going to promote racial, how would you say it, divisions in this state. We're not getting into that. And he could explain how this is going on in the schools. And so we're going to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. We're not going to get into pushing a leftist ideology on children, especially against their parents' wishes. And for that, that's what the NAACP and these other groups, the gay and lesbian groups, that's what they're going to cite is him being a bigot.
Right.
Governor DeSantis, talking about.
I will say I'll share this link here in a second, but I've had school board members in the state of Florida confirm to me that they do still and have taught black history, bill.
Yeah, it's like they did with Trump on the Charlottesville thing.
Yeah.
Right. They just use something. They know it's not, they know he's not racist, but they try to use something to say, okay, here, in the case with President Trump, he was talking Charlottesville. I'm talking about. He was talking about there are good people on both sides. Well, that sounded bad because it was some bad actors
showed up
who were maybe racist. I don't know, but so that's when he said, "Well, there's good people on both sides."
He was referring to people's
who were supporting the
statue,
the statue in the park there.
Right.
That's what he meant. That's what Trump meant. Right. But the left said, no, that ain't what you meant.
You meant the Ku Klux Klan.
You meant they're
numbers.
Good Nazis.
Yes, they're good Nazis.
Yeah, which was ridiculous. But So this is what the left tries to do. They'll take any kind of a situation with, and they try to exploit it for political purposes.
Yeah. And you know, I don't want to revisit history there of Charlottesville, but you remember President Trump was asked continuously, well, will you finally say you're opposed to white supremacists. And I remember he said, and they finally had a release from the White House, a long montage of video clips of him saying over and over again, I reject white supremacists. But every time he was interviewed, well, will you finally say you're opposed to white supremacy as if he had never done it before? That's the way the media operates.
Right.
And so for the NAACP, they're counting on the news media to back them up. That's why the news media kept calling the bill that Governor DeSantis signed the Don't Say Gay bill. Right. Remember, we would read articles sometimes from the Associated Press. You'd read
they
articles.
They still do it.
Nowhere in there would they give the actual name, the Parental Rights and Education bill. No, they referred to it as the Don't Say Gay bill.
Yeah.
All right, next story, Chris.
Well, I tell you what, let's end it on some light news, as we're nearing the end of
just
the show.
Just because your segment's coming to an end doesn't mean the show's over, Chris. Although you're doing a great job.
Thank you very much, encouraging Ed. I bring this up because I'm a fan of both, and therefore I wanted to give a shout-out here. This can only be more proof that capitalism is great, and here's why. Bluebell, which is Texas-based, is partnering with Dr. Pepper, which is Texas-based, to team up for a new Dr. Pepper float ice cream. I'm not making it up. It's not a satirical news story. It is going to be Bluebell ice cream, and it is coming to a retailer near you. Probably not the thing you thought me coming out at the end of the show with, but I'm looking forward
to this.
I
like Bluebell ice cream, and I love me a float. Those ice cream floats are fantastic.
Yes.
I'm not a big Dr. Pepper fan, but I probably would. That's going to be the flavor of the ice cream?
Yes. Dr. Pepper.
I would probably try that.
Flavored ice cream.
I haven't had a Coke float in,
I know,
40 years.
40 years?
Yeah. I used to like those as kids. Coke floats, what we called them.
Yeah.
But I haven't. I'm moving on with, I'm matured.
Well,
you know.
Well, hey, if you want to drink something delicious, a Diet Coke and sugar-free ice cream float, that'll get you going.
I bet it will get you going.
I'm just kidding.
It'll get you going for like 3 days without sleep.
That's disgusting. I may try that ice
Somebody cream. Suggest a Sprite float, which I've never had, but I will give it a try, Lisa.
A Sprite.
Now, well, you got to have lime sherbet with that.
I would suggest going the Sprite peanuts route. That's a pretty good combo right there.
I've tried. When I first pastored a church here in Mississippi,
yeah,
they said, you got to try peanuts in the Coke.
I've never done that.
And that was disgusting.
Peanuts in a Sprite, that's pretty good. Check it out.
All right.
Of course, it all depends on your taste, doesn't it? All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of... Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
You did an outstanding job.
Absolutely.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.